Throughout history, remarkable men and women have left behind ideas capable of changing the course of a life. In each episode, we'll explore one section of a timeless book, uncovering the enduring wisdom, practical lessons, and powerful stories that continue to shape thoughtful lives today. These are more than book summaries. They are an invitation to join great dialogue that has connected generations of readers, leaders, and lifelong learners. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Dialogue on Dialogue. Welcome back. This is chapter 2 of Ben Franklin's autobiography, where I look to discover what his remarkable life can still teach us about learning, character, success, and becoming just a little bit better every day. What if I told you that one of the greatest writers, inventors, diplomats, and statesmen in American history never attended college and only had a few years of formal schooling? You can probably guess who I'm talking about. Benjamin Franklin didn't become exceptional because of elite education. He became exceptional because he mastered the art of teaching himself. In today's chapter, we'll see how a teenage apprentice developed the habits that transformed him from an ordinary working class boy into one of the most influential people in history. By age 12, Franklin's future was beginning to take shape. Recognizing his son's love of reading and learning, Franklin's father arranged for him to become an apprentice in the printing business under his older brother, James, in Boston. For young Benjamin, this was an ideal compromise. While it wasn't the ministry his father had once envisioned, it placed him in an environment filled with books, ideas, and opportunities to learn. Printing gave Franklin something he craved above all else: access to knowledge. He devoured books whenever he could get his hands on them and became determined to improve himself. Like many a romantic young person, Franklin briefly became fascinated with poetry. He even wrote several poems of his own. Now, his father, wisely perhaps, however, he wasn't impressed, and he warned him that poetry was unlikely to provide a stable living. Rather than becoming discouraged, Franklin redirected his ambition toward improving his writing generally. What happened next is one of the greatest examples of deliberate practice in history. Franklin he'd find an essay and articles that he admired, and he studied them carefully. Then he would set them aside and attempt to recreate them in his own words from memory. He would then compare his version to the original, identifying the weaknesses and trying it again and over. Sometimes he would convert prose into poetry and then turn it back into prose. Other times he would take notes on an article and attempt to reconstruct the argument days later. This process forced him to expand his vocabulary, strengthen his reasoning, and improve his ability to organize ideas. Night after night, he practiced. Gradually, the apprentice printer became a skilled writer. At the same time, Franklin developed a fascination with argument and debate. He loved discussing ideas and testing out his opinions. During this period, he encountered the Socratic method, a style of inquiry based not on lecturing, but on thoughtful questions. Rather than trying to overpower people with argument, Franklin learned to guide conversations through curiosity and inquiry. This led him to one of the most important communication lessons of his life. He discovered that people rarely change their minds when confronted aggressively. In fact, certainty often creates resistance. As a result, he deliberately stopped presenting his opinions as unquestionable facts. Instead of saying, "This is true," he would switch it up a little bit and say something like, "I imagine," or "It appears to me," "I believe," "I may be mistaken," but this approach made others more willing to listen and created opportunities for genuine discussion. Franklin supported this idea with a line from the poet Alexander Pope. "Men should be taught as if you taught them not, and things unknown proposed as things forgot." In other words, people are often more receptive to ideas when they feel they are discovering them themselves. Meanwhile, in his life, tensions between Franklin and his older brother continued to grow. The apprenticeship became increasingly restrictive, and Franklin wanted greater independence. Eventually, through negotiation, he worked out an arrangement where, rather than his brother paying directly for his room and board, he allowed Benjamin to manage his own expenses. The arrangement gave him greater freedom and even allowed him to save money while continuing his studies. But the relationship deteriorated further when James Franklin, his brother, got into some legal troubles in the colonies for criticizing the colonial assembly in his newspaper. The controversy created an opportunity for Benjamin. So it would allow Benjamin's public apprenticeship effectively to end. And circumstances eventually allowed him to leave Boston altogether with little money, no possessions, and no connections. Franklin quietly departed and headed to New York. In the next chapter of his life, and perhaps the most famous self-made success story in American history, is about to begin. Here are some of the lessons that I gathered from chapter 2. Lesson 1, deliberate practice beats talents every time. One of the biggest myths about success is that exceptional people are simply born with exceptional abilities. This is not the whole story. Franklin's writing process tells a different story. He didn't merely read great writing. He dissected it. He copied it. He practiced it. He studied it. His improvement came from focused repetition and feedback. The lesson is simple. Don't just consume excellence. Practice it. If you want to become a better writer, study great writers. If you want to become a better speaker, analyze great speakers. Success leaves clues. Lesson number 2, self-education is a lifelong advantage. Franklin's formal education ended early, but his real education was just beginning. He treated books as mentors and every day as an opportunity to learn. Today, we have access to more information than Franklin could have possibly imagined. Yet, many people stop learning once school ends. Franklin reminds us that education is not something done to us. It's something that we choose for ourselves. Lesson 3, influence comes through humility. Now, this may be the most valuable lesson in this chapter. Franklin realized that constantly proving people wrong rarely changes minds. Instead, he learned to approach discussions with curiosity and humility. The phrases like, "I think," "it appears to me," and "I may be mistaken" are not signs of weakness. They are tools that encourage dialogue instead of conflict. In an age of social media, arguments, and political division, Franklin's lessons feel more relevant than ever. Lesson 4. Independence creates growth. Franklin's growing desire for independence pushed him beyond the limits of what's comfortable. Managing his own expenses, directing his own studies, and eventually leaving Boston all required personal responsibility. Growth often begins when we stop waiting for someone else to direct our lives and start taking ownership ourselves. Chapter 2 reveals something that would define Benjamin Franklin's entire life. He never stopped being a student, whether he was learning to write, debate, persuade, invent, or lead. Franklin approached improvement as a skill that could be practiced. By the time he leaves Boston, at the end of this chapter, he has little money and no path forward. But he possesses something far more valuable, a disciplined habit of self-education. And as we'll see in the next chapter, that habit will open doors that he never could have imagined. Until next time, remember, the lessons are older than we are and just as relevant today.